Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Welcome to those of you here and listening online. Have a good week. Amen. Long week. A lot of work. I had a good week. I chose to have a good week. If you're out there and you didn't have a good week, choose to have a good one this week. Amen. Came across an article this week. It was talking about Americans and Christian Americans and what they think of government and these other things. There was all that stuff. What it came down to is in America today, in the world that we live in, folks are discouraged. And these aren't just folks that are outside of Christ. I mean, these are folks that claim Christ. But they're discouraged. That seems strange. There's no reason for that. It got me to thinking, well, what is discouragement? So I looked it up, used that fancy internet thing, and I checked out a few different things. And there was a quote that I came across from a gentleman, his name was William Ward, who happened to be a minister back in like the early 1800s. I'll read it for you. He says, "Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. It's also ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding strength for tomorrow." Now, once you come to a knowledge of Christ, and once you believe that gospel, doesn't all that just melt away? It should. Your past is just wiped clean. Like, I think it was Ricky had the dry erase board example. Write down all those bad things that you did. Now take the eraser. That's what Christ does for you with your past. I didn't catch that, Paul. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances. Different places. Well, Paul writes about being content where you are. But let's go and read it. It's good. It's over in Philippians, what I'm referring to anyway. Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, I'll start reading at verse 4. Yeah, let's go back there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were but equal opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So be content where you are today. And know that in the future, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. If you take that little snippet, all of this discouragement and dissatisfaction melts away. But the problem that people have is that they're looking to the government. They're looking to people. Selves, all of that is unbelief. And when you find yourself in that place, you need to come to the realization that it can change. It can be different. Through Christ, each and every one of us has the opportunity to seek that peace with God, that joy, and to strive to become part of that perfect man. That's a choice we need to make. You need to make that choice to believe the gospel. I remember it was that movie, The Hiding Place, with Corrie Ten Boom. I know many of you have seen it. There was part of that movie where they were being moved from one prison camp to, you know, yet another prison camp. And when they got to this prison camp, it was the worst of all the prison camps I think that they had been to. And while they were there, or when they had first gotten there, I think Corey's sister was it Betsy? I think it was Betsy. I think she was the one that was faithful. You don't remember her name. All right. I apologize if I got it wrong. But what it comes to is they were doing a Bible study, and they came across, you know, some verses, and it showed them that they should be thankful to the Lord in all things. Essentially what we're talking about. But Corey was having a real problem because this place was infested with fleas and it was disgusting. And Betsy was telling Corey, you need to be thankful to the Lord for where she has placed you. And she didn't get it. Some time passes, not long I don't think, and then she forces herself. She makes the choice to thank the Lord for where she was. And while they were there at this prison camp, they pretty much had free rein to have Bible studies and talk about the Lord, you know, within their little barracks or wherever, you know, the prisoners were kept, because the guards would never come around. And you come to find out later, the guards never came around was because it was infested with fleas. It's my hope that everybody gets to the point in their lives, in their walk with Christ, where they can come to that full realization of the gospel, where they can fully believe, where they can recognize those places in their life where they have unbelief. Receive that correction, cast off that unbelief, and when you have doubt, Lord can work with that. Doubt your doubts. Seek Him for the right answer. Seek your authorities. Seek your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. It's interesting where you went, Scott, this morning. It was kind of a place where, oh, man, you know, looking at Hebrews 12 this morning. But you're looking at that discouragement and what that discouragement meant, and you can see that it's unbelief. Now, I know in the situations that I'm encountered to a lot, is one that I can very easily and have and been guilty of, but I mean, praise the Lord. Look at those situations and see utter just this. I can be very, very discouraged. Let me put it that way. I can be very discouraged. I mean, it just was, you know, just a little example. I'm sitting there at work on Saturday and you see that, you know, what we got going on and is like the new guys to the old solid guys that knows the business, that knows it very well. I mean, it's like 80-20. I mean, that's how many new guys there are to the solid guys. I mean, in the business and the tire part is just absolutely struggling. I mean, just for us to get the man force. I mean, it's almost like we go into survival mode instead of business mode. Where we're trying to get business, we're like, we're just trying to survive what we got. We're just trying to survive with what we have. We're trying to make it a day just to make a few people happy in the midst of this thing. I mean, it's really not that good. And there was, and in the midst of it, I can actually see and I can look back. And the reason why I can see and I can have hope in the midst of this situation is because of Jesus Christ and what He's able to do. Because I can look and it is a battle when I go in there. I mean, it's a hard work. I mean, just Saturday was two solid guys on the floor. I'm used to five. The rest were new guys. I mean, just to kind of show you that and when you got 20 cars on the board, you could really use those five solid guys to get those things done. But it actually, as I'm looking at it, I can see it being a good thing. Because there's an area that the reason why that we're in that situation was because the way that things were being handled. And the way that things were being handled wasn't a solution to the problem, but it just made the problem worse. And it's very evident. And actually, it was actually given to me from one of my authorities what was going on. And I could see, and it was very evident in that situation. However, in the midst of that, what's happening is the solution to that problem is starting to be addressed and considered. And the result of it being ugly right now is actually a result that's going to benefit others that are already there, that are solid working guys. And it's going to benefit them. And it's going to be a foundation that is laid, a new foundation that is laid of a different way. The Lord's way. Now, right now, there's that fight, there's that struggle. That's what it took for things to move in that direction. Didn't have to get to that place, but that's what it took. But praise God, but you can see that there is a different direction starting to take. And that's why I can sit back and I can see that as hard as it is right now, there's going to be on the other side of this. And I could already see it starting to bear. Something I've been fighting for these guys for a long time is starting to bear because of this. And I praise the Lord for it. Now, that's just one situation. That's one. There's many others. But that's where we need to grasp in believing the Lord, because discouragement is just simply unbelief. I mean, I heard Davey last. Oh, I heard Davey in times past. You read it today. The Lord is at hand. He is as available to you as your hand is. You heard it in this past sermon. He's talking about it doesn't matter what you do. It's a matter if you believe him. If you believe him. Now see, the hard part in the midst of that thing is that we got this sinful, nasty flesh that does, hates God. Strapped to our back. It doesn't want us to believe God. It's absolutely, it's enmity with God. That means 180 degrees enemy. But he gave us freedom from that. He died on the cross. Was resurrected in power. That we can become free of that old man. And see, that's the choice that we have laid out before us. That's some of the choice that you were talking about. Being grateful. That's a choice you make. To believe God is a choice you make. It's available. He's paved the way. It's right there for you. The freedom is right there at hand for you to grab a hold on and be free from that doubt, that unbelief, that discouragement, that thing that wants to drag you down and believe a lie. You know, I heard Charlie last week and it was a very good sermon, and I like listening to Charlie last weekend because he was talking about a light bulb being dipped in black paint, and he was talking about bitterness. And I tell you, I mean, that was an interesting sermon, and if you guys haven't heard it, I would recommend listening to it. But he was talking about that light bulb, and I tell you, that I could relate to what he was saying to an extent. It scared me. Praise God, it scared me. To an extent. But what he was talking about is every time he got, you know, he would get corrected and he wouldn't say anything, get angry about it. And he'd dip that light bulb in the black paint and it'd darken that light in him, which was Jesus. And a situation would happen and he'd dip that light bulb in dark paint again. And light would become dimmer. And as he was laying there, and Charlie said it far better than I did, but I just want to bring the point up. But he was laying there one night and he's like, man, there's no hope. You know, what do I do about this, Lord? And the Lord showed him something about how to get rid of that paint that's on that light bulb. Talked about keeping that light lit. What will happen is that light will heat up and it'll dry that paint off and it'll crack and it'll come right off. And that top point where he was talking about that there was no hope, that was a lie. That was a lie. And I could relate to that very much because I can see where I get very discouraged in the midst of situations. In the midst of the things that I have in front of me, I can get very discouraged. But I got to remember, that's a lie. That's a lie. And to not lean on my own understanding in looking at that situation. And choosing to believe God in the midst of that situation. No matter what. No matter what. And it's even if it's just a situation to show me where I am and just to repent of, then praise God. If it was just a situation because I was wrong and I caused in my own life, then, which 9 times out of 10 is the case, then praise God. I can get that right. I can get that corrected. And it just doesn't matter. I want to read Hebrews 12. And it says, "Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And it's an interesting thing, just in that verse. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses," if you read chapter 11, and we've been through it on men's Bible study, but you see that where the people chose to believe the Lord no matter what. I mean, you just take an example of just Abraham. Abraham. The promise was through son Isaac. And the Lord goes and tells him to offer him up as a sacrifice. With your own understanding, you would look at that. And with the carnal mind, you'd look at that and go, "Well, that makes absolutely no sense at all." Makes no sense at all. This was the promise through was my son Isaac. You tell him to go offer it up. Doesn't compute, but that's not what Abraham did. He believed God. He believed that promise. And even if it was God Himself to go tell him to offer him up, that He would have to raise him up from the dead. And another thing was, is that he learned he held nothing back from the Lord. Nothing. Nothing back. And we need to get to that same place too. We don't hold nothing back from the Lord. The Lord says, offer something up, get rid of it, get shed of it. Get rid of it. Get shed of it. Grab onto Him. He has something far better. And what was the promise? Then He showed him the ram. And then He showed him the gospel. That it was Jesus that was going to come down. How far better than Isaac? Isaac dying wouldn't have done any of us any good. How far better? How much better is that? And see, what happens is with us is that we like those little idols. We like those things that the Lord tells us to let go. We don't know. I want to hang on to that. I want to hang on to that. And it's the thing that's killing you, man. Let it go. Let it go. Because He has something far better. Far better. And see, with our natural carnal mind, this thing is so great and wonderful. Jesus, you're all right, but this thing is awesome. And we can sit back, well, no, we don't do that. Ask the Lord to show you if that is the case in your life. Usually that situation that happens where I stumble and fall gets to show me that I was hanging on to that a lot more than you, Lord, and that was terrible. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And does He? Yes. All right, son, now let that go. Go forward in me. Thank you, Lord. And does He like hold it up against me? You were talking about the handwritings being blotted out that was against us? No. He's just happy you're free, man. You got rid of that thing. He's a loving Father. Tell you what, when my daughter stumbles and falls in an area and throws an attitude and hangs on to that attitude and gets all in a fit and blah, blah, blah. And I go and I rebuke that attitude and I nip it in the bud and she's free from that attitude. She changes her mind and starts having a good time. Do you think for a second that I'm like, yeah, but remember that attitude, Raylan? No, I'm rejoicing. I'm praising God. Amen. I get to spend time with my daughter. And she's having a great time. That pleases me. I'm evil. I'm evil. How much more of the Father? But let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besets us. Now I tell you, it doesn't say easily in there for no reason. It really doesn't. I tell you what, I can be getting up in the morning, praising God, getting to the Word. Hallelujah. Drive the Word. Situation comes up. Oh my goodness! Anybody y'all done that? It's just God's back there. Nope. I know I have, and I got a hello, McFly. What's bigger than this? Let Him be glorified in the midst of this. Isn't that a life? I mean, it wasn't like God called us because, man, that guy's got his stuff together. I mean, he is pretty amazing. Man, I just gotta get him on my team because he's just so freaking amazing. Wow. No, it's usually, I am in the dumps. My life is upside down, and I have nowhere to turn. And somebody comes by and tells you the gospel. Or you say, Lord, please help me. And then somebody comes by and tells you the gospel. And hope that there might be a God. And then he takes that situation and he flips that situation right side up. Right side up. And then who gets glorified? He does. Then what do you have? A testimony. And what else do you have? A beginning of a relationship. And something that you can share with others that are in the same place that you were. I want to go to 2 because we can look at looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And see what the thing is, with the carnal mind, and people look out what they seem to forget and understand that Jesus was fully man when he chose. I mean, he always did what the Father told him to do and say what the Father told him to say. And yet he was fully man. He chose the Lord, and he's sitting there at that garden, striving against sin to the sweating of blood, making that choice for you and I and for the love of the Father's will. Gosh, sometimes we go in the battle that of that sin that so easily besets us, in that battle that we have before us, into choosing to believe God in the midst of a situation. We go in there and we're like, I'm choosing. I quit choosing. It's so hard. All I can see is this. And we give up so easily on just making that choice. But remember what the Word says. Remember what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus did, man. It was by His faith. He went to the cross and paid the price for us. It was Him that was resurrected from the dead. It was that veil of temple that caused the veil of temple to be ripped between us, that we have access to Him. Man, we have a hard time believing that we can get through a situation. We can get very discouraged in it. But we know the story of Jesus and we know He was victorious. Well, trust in that. Amen. That's where it's supposed to be in, not in anything else. And if you can believe that, and we got other examples, the cloud of witnesses before us that believe God. They were nothing special. It's a choice we make. It's not based on your skill set or how good you were or how bad you were. No, it's a choice to believe God, man. That's it. Anybody can do that. Anybody in this room can do that. It's simple. Let go. Let go of that thing that drags you down. Let go of those idols. Let go of those things. Because the Lord has something better. Grab a hold to that gospel. And when you grab a hold of that gospel, then people can start seeing Jesus through you. David was talking about that time coming where it's going to be, I'll show you my faith by my works. What must we do to do the works of God? Believe on Him who He hath sent. Believe Him. He has something far better than whatever the thing that you're holding on to that's keeping you back from the Lord. He has something far better. And if you know, if you're like me and you know that you got areas where things are holding you back from going forward in the Lord, you keep going to your discipler. You keep going those that are in the Lord, that are in authority, they're ordained ministers. You keep going to your brothers and sisters. Hang out with them. Talk with them. Because those things will be revealed. Those things will start getting shed up. Because some things we have in us we don't even recognize until they're pointed out. And when that correction comes, don't get faint, but praise God and get rid of it. Get shed of it. Because He wants you to succeed. God has not called you to fail, but to succeed. And His will is for that. All to hear the gospel. Whether they reject it or receive it, you can't make that choice for them. But you sure don't want to withhold that opportunity from them. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I was sitting here reading in John 15, which is where I thought I was going to go. And I kind of glanced over to John 14. And it got my attention. Verse 11. Jesus says, believe me. That's the summation of the gospel. How do you believe Jesus? Well, what did He say? But what He said before this, believe me, is really important stuff about who He is and what He was there to do. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What does that make me think of? Makes me think of James. You believe God is one, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. The way you know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth,
and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way to do it. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. That's pretty clear. What his testimony is, that's what believe in Jesus. You believe Jesus' testimony. You believe he is who he says he is, and he came to do what he said he came to do. And that he will do what he said he will do. What did Abraham, the testimony of Abraham in Romans? Testimony of Abraham and one of that list of great witnesses in Hebrews 11. Testimony of Abraham was he believed God. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. It's just that simple. He believed what God said. You've been talking to God. He believed God said. He believed what God said. Very simple. Not about anything he did. Nothing he did that was so impressive. He just believed the things that God told him. We sit here, you know, this Philip was talking about the trials of stuff, tough stuff that he goes through, especially in the workplace. And the other side of that, it bears fruit. People know what they're doing. They can get things done. They don't have to have somebody hovering over them all the time, fixing the mistakes, making up the difference, because they can do it themselves. They get that experience. In the body, you know, when you're a branch on that vine, it's not an all-star treatment. It's fertilizer and water and some pruning, and you get a harvest. You get all kinds of fruit off of that vine. The work gets put in, the feeding and the pruning and the purging, as the actual scripture says. All that stuff has to take place, and that's not fancy looking stuff. Sometimes it's just ugly. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seeth me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shewest the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. But believe me. Believe me. That which I said I have come to do, I will do. And you get all that, you know, that unbelief going about the future. It's a lack of trust in the testimony of God. The testimony of God is seek me first. Be on my agenda. Seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. When you seek in His righteousness, that's the only righteousness that's going to do you any good anyway. All these things will be provided, added unto you. All these things. Everything you need to do His agenda, to do His thing. He promises to give you. And you're sitting there wringing your hands about tomorrow. What does Jesus say about tomorrow? It has sufficient for today is the evil of today. Take no thought about tomorrow. It's all you can do to wrap your hands around the gospel and hold on to belief today. Before you can commit to Him to trust Him for tomorrow. If you get it tomorrow, His provision for you is going to be total when you're doing His thing. But if you can't hang on to believe and trust in Him that His testimony is true, then you're not trusting Jesus' testimony either. Jesus is the one who spoke those words back in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He was giving testimony to the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Jesus showed you his belief and trust in the Father by his works, by his testimony, by, in the end, showing that he chose his will, not his own, to care for us all the way to a criminal's death on the cross. That's the gospel. That's the testimony of all of his disciples. That's his testimony of the Father. That while we were yet sinners, he commended his love to us. He sent his Son to die for us while we were yet his enemy, so that we could have reconciliation with the Father and become ministers of that reconciliation to the world. Receive it. Stand in it. Share it. I'm done.